You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian, and our guest today is Kelly Crowder. She is an LA-based actor, writer, musician, director, and photographer. She's appeared in some commercials, some short films, and many self-tapes, big same. She makes content on TikTok and Instagram at Kelly Crowder, and is currently editing her debut short film, Bright Smile, in which she stars and was the director. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Her background is in musical theater, and she toured with the national tour of Waitress the Musical, understudying the lead role of Jenna, just up until it was shut down by the COVID pandemic. She has original music out on all platforms, her most recent single titled Lobotomy being her personal favorite. She grew up in Carmel, Indiana as the third of seven kids and learned how to drive in a 15-passenger Chevy Express. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Of course. The Chevy Express felt like necessary context for
the vibe. Absolutely.
Of my childhood.
Absolutely. Kelly and I met in former guest Rishi's 24-hour birthday film festival, and we won.
We literally won. I have our Riff plaque.
Oh,
that is a part of the lineup to be hung up.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so we won. So in case it wasn't clear, you won.
But our book today, this is sort of a first to do book versus movie, is from 2001 from author Anne Brashares, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Woo!
I love that when I messaged you about what book you want to do, you said, has anyone done the Bible? Never mind. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
That just feels like too much to get into.
It has to be a multi-parter.
Yeah. I'd have to be a returning guest, and we just don't have the time to get into it. A lot of authors.
A lot of questions about authors.
I mean, if we're really talking about things I was reading as a kid.
Valid.
And unfortunately, the Holy Bible was a big one of them.
Well, it's a classic for a reason, I guess.
Yeah.
But you grew up not with the book, but with the movie. So tell me about your relationship with the movie.
I mean, the movie came out in 2005, and which was like my eighth grade-ish year. And okay, spoiler alert, am I allowed to say I didn't read the book as a kid. I saw the movie. But I just remember like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants was so iconic and groundbreaking at the time. It was just as like an eighth grade girl. In my experience, like you are just like so hungry for romance and whimsy and like adventure and like cool friendship and like fun boy experiences. And like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants was just like, it just like inspired this feeling of adventure. And I felt like every single one of those girls in some way or another. Yeah. And I think it just like inspired this like deep need for like both a camaraderie of female friendship, but yeah, just like a deep desire to like leave Indiana and go to Greece and meet a beautiful Grecian fisherman boy who sweeps me off my freaking feet, or go to Baja, California and meet the soccer coach of my dreams. Mostly it was just boy crazy. I was boy crazy. Is really all it comes down to.
I mean, that's part of it. That's part of life in the era.
I
I'm glad that of the four narratives that was in them, and it's in two of them and a little bit in a third one, because that's accurate. And I also like that it wasn't every single storyline. I think it's a really good balance. So for those unfamiliar, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is about four friends who, but just before they all depart on their four corners of the wind summer vacation, they discover a thrifted pair of blue jeans that fits them all despite their varying body sizes. They decide that it's magic. And so they mail it to each other throughout summer vacation to document the magic of the pants. And the four characters are Lena, who goes to Greece and hangs out with her grandparents, who are Greek, Tibby, who works at Walmart and befriends
Walmans.
Walmans.
Huge distinction.
Walmans.
Walmans.
Thank you. And she befriends a terminally ill 12-year-old girl. All the girls are 15, going on 16. They all turn 16 right at the end of the book. Carmen, who goes to South Carolina to be with her divorced dad, only to learn that he is about to get remarried.
Devastating.
Oh my God.
Just
And then
devastating.
Bridget goes to Baja California for soccer camp and falls for the sexy 19-year-old coach, Eric. And I really liked this book. I was so surprised.
Me too, honestly. You hadn't read it
No,
before?
I hadn't read it and I hadn't seen the movie. All
Really?
right. Yeah.
Wow. Talk about required reading. It's required watching. I see you're required watching. Not gonna lie, I have it on. I have it
Oh,
on right here with
beautiful. Oh my gosh. Perfect. Oh my
me.
goodness.
So,
And also the
I'm
star
currently watching it.
power.
The star
Ooh.
power. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, Alexis
America Ferrera,
Bledel,
like
America Ferrera.
rising star.
She obviously Oscars around Barbie. I have been in love with America Ferrera since the Disney Channel original movie, Gotta Kick It Up. And she
Oh
gives an
yeah.
incredible performance in that
Wow.
movie.
Yeah. No, she's amazing. Like in
Yeah.
this movie, like she's giving acting chops that we weren't ready for at that time.
No. And she
Truly
plays
everyone is.
Carmen, who has the divorced
The divorced
dad
dad.
storyline.
Just gives the devastating performance of a lifetime.
Yes.
It's so good. But reading the book was really fun
Yeah, tell me about
because
that experience.
well, because I've seen Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants like so many times. Frankly, it's been a long time since I've watched it. Like it's probably been well over a decade since I've watched the movie, but I feel like I've seen it probably more than 4 or 5 times in my life. And obviously, there's going to be like way more details that just kind of get glossed over in the movie. But spoiler, like one of the major plot points, like the Costas plot point, is like completely different in the book than it is in the movie, which
I
is
was wondering.
fascinating.
Yeah.
He's like when I started listening to the book, I was like, that's not what Grandma's like recommending Costas. They hate Costas. What's going on here? So that threw me for a
Oh.
whirl. Because in the
So,
movie, when
yeah.
she meets Costas, because she's like painting on a dock and she accidentally falls into the water because she's like kind of checking out this cute boy who's on a fishing boat. And then he jumps in to save her because her magic pants get caught on something underwater and he frees her and then he saves her life. She's like, I gotta go. And he gives her like a t-shirt that she can change into. And then when she gets back to her grandma's house, her grandma's like, whose shirt is this? Is it a boy's? Whose is it? Whose is it? I know everybody. And she's like, Costas Dunas. And she's like, tell me you'll never see him again. Tell me like your grandpa will die if you ever talk to him again. And she's like, oh. So we find out like in the movie, like right off the bat, Costas and their family is like, they are like
Bad blood or
bad blood, Romeo and
yeah.
Juliet
Oh.
energy levels.
Interesting, because that's so the opposite.
It's literally the
Costas,
opposite.
yeah, in the book, Costas is this local Greek boy who grandma and grandpa are like, he's the son of the entire town. We all love him. And the conflict becomes that Lena, is Lena Alexis Bledel in the movie? goes to this little lake, and Costas sees her naked and she thinks he's spying on her. There's a
And she,
miscommunication in
yeah, she
language.
overreacts a pinch, just a pinch. In a sense that just gets him in like way more trouble than like was due for the crime kind of thing.
Yeah, there's several misunderstandings and language barriers, but everything really works out in the end. It
It
is
sure
like
does.
the perfect summer read. I'm really glad that I like read it in August.
It
So
is a perfect
perfect.
summer read.
Yes.
Honestly, I didn't even think about that, but that's
Yeah.
true. I also feel like so many people went to Greece this summer. It was like a
Did
big
they?
Greece summer. Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah, me either. I gotta go. I've been meaning to go to Greece since Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants came
It's this and Mamma Mia.
hit the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
Man, which story do you think, both as like a young person and now, sort of resonated with you the most of the four?
Honestly, I hate this answer. But I like when I tell you, like, for context, like, I was a theater kid and I was just like dramatic. Like, I was boy crazy. Like, I wanted to be in love so badly. And I feel like every chapter of like my young adolescent life was like defined by having a crush on something, on someone, a boy. Like, literally. And so I feel like it's not even that I like identified with like Lena or Bridget's narratives at all, but I was just like, ugh, I wanted to be like swept off my feet so badly, like, oh my God. And yeah, I don't know. I think like I identified with Bridget's like free-spirited mentality. It's hard to explain, I guess.
Well, and I think it is written in a way where sort of like the four of them kind of complete the human sort of experience, where and it's definitely wish fulfillment without a doubt to like go to Greece and have a romance and go to soccer camp and one of the camp counselors is, you know, in love with you. And you also have like a girl working at the department store, which is really
Doing like a menial, kind of insufferable, soul-sucking summer job. And just like being stuck in like your boring like suburban hometown
And
when
everyone's
everyone else is
having
doing cool exotic things.
exactly.
And then
And
also like the vindictive like Carmen's narrative of just like getting to be mad at a parent like in real time, you know.
I was so surprised by the richness and emotional complexity of the book because I mean, there's conflicts with parents. There's a little bit of conflict between the girls when some of them get reunited. But, you know, Carmen's big frustration is she's working through her anger, and her anger is justified. Like, her dad does not tell her. She has such a clear vision of, like, me and dad are gonna get time together all summer. I never see him, and he has a full wife and kids.
It's insane, to not mention a single thing about it, and then for him to be like, by the way, I'm getting married in like a month.
In a month.
It's crazy.
And like, genuinely, I enjoy when, especially in children's work or young adult work, when everyone is genuinely trying their best and trying to be a good person and has the best intentions, because the mom and the daughter and the son are like, they're not trying to be bad, they're not comically.
No. They have their own tragic backstory to deal with, their dad of it all. I know. And she like has a moment where she's like, dang, that is pretty sad, like about Lydia and like her husband and blah blah blah. And she's like, but whatever, I don't want to feel bad for her because I have to hate her.
And you,
That's so like 15-year-old
exactly.
girl coded.
Absolutely.
You don't know where to like direct your anger, and so you just direct it at like the most like convenient thing. So relatable.
And I know that in like out w around this book and this movie, everyone sort of, especially adults, obviously, are like, ugh, magic pants. But like, yeah, have you been 15? That's
Please.
absolutely like, I even kind of like, you know, tucking into it, sort of rolled my eyes, and I was like, actually, remember being 15? You absolutely would.
Literally.
This
Absolutely. You would.
reasoning,
You buy into it. Even if like in your heart of hearts, you don't actually believe in magic. It's like, I don't know. Like you make packs with your friends when you're a kid that feel magic and important and everlasting and singular, you know? And like, that's what this book feels like. I mean, really, this book is just like a testament to friendship, obviously, and just like the pacts that you make, the things that you decide are magic with the people that are important to you, you know? And like the confidence that that can give you. Like sometimes all you need is like a little boost from something that you've deemed mystical, you know?
Absolutely. I was so jealous. I mean, I would have been as a kid, even now as an adult, of this incredible bond and relationship with the.
I
They have
know.
been friends since they were in utero.
Literally.
Their
Yeah.
moms all meet in like a yoga class when they're
Yep.
pregnant. All of them are gonna give birth around the same time. I wish I
I
had a
know. How
bond like that.
romantic. I
Oh my
know.
God. Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. I know. I wish I had that too. I
Yeah.
certainly do not.
I did not know. There's a line that's like, we started being we before we were even born. They're born within 17 days of each other.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think that's the wish fulfillment also, is to like you have these friendships, but nothing this
Yeah.
strong and intense and
Yeah, exactly.
reliable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where you're like writing your friends every week from like they're carving out time from like their like big summer adventures away from each other for the first time. Like in my brain, like I wouldn't even carve out the time to do that. And yet they're still like so focused on like the coming back together of it all and like the importance of keeping one another involved in whatever they're doing. And then like, I'm skipping so far ahead, but
Go,
like
go.
when Lena like shows up for Bridget at the end, I'm like, oh God. And she's like, I just didn't want you to be alone.
Yes.
God,
Oh my goodness.
that's female friendship right there.
Let's dive into that because
Oh, so good.
that was fascinating, everything with
Yeah,
Bridget.
I know.
Bridget is, almost 16, totally boy crazy. She's the free spirit.
Yep. Tragic
Like,
backstory too.
her mom
Her
committed
mom,
suicide, right?
Alyssa. Yeah.
Yeah. And
And
her
like
dad.
not long before this summer,
No,
right? Within the last few years,
Yes,
it seems like.
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's still fresh. I
Yeah,
think it
they're.
would be.
Yeah, oh my gosh, of course. And she picks this gorgeous camp counselor and is sort of like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna
Yeah, she
go
locks
wild.
in.
Absolutely. And he, of course, is not allowed. They end up.
She like aggressively pursues him.
Oh my God. And they have sex, right? There's definitely like
Yeah.
a fade to black, as the term is. And she, the next morning, is like messed up by
She's
it.
depressed. Yeah.
It is this moment of
Yeah.
like, and Brashears does such a good job of like not explaining it or not explicitly saying this is what happened and this is explicitly how I feel about it. Bridget doesn't know how she feels about it. And
No, it's like this crazy thing that she's like, it's so sad. And that I can say is genuinely relatable. Like she just made it such a big thing in her head. She romanticized it. She fantasized about it. She played cat and mouse with it. And then the second that she got it and to just be like left like that empty afterwards is so. Or just like confused, like it just makes you so sad for like the things like in your adolescence that feel important and that you think are gonna fulfill you and like give you a sense of gratification or whatever, and they just don't. And you're so young that it's like hard to even process how you're feeling about those things, like having
Absolutely.
sex for the first time. I can relate.
Yeah. And there's even a line that's something like, I was not actually ready for it yet. I was too
Right.
young for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that there's like no shame around any of it.
Yeah.
It's like you should be able to experiment. You should be able to
Yeah.
try these things. It's okay to want these things.
Yeah.
And it's like also okay to mess up. And you might be too young. Like you might think you're
Yeah.
ready for it and you're not. And like
Yeah.
you were saying, Lena reroutes her flight. She like lands. This I did not know at all. This whole thing takes place in suburban Maryland, just outside DC, which is where
Yeah.
I am from.
Oh, really?
This is like they're in Bethesda. I grew up like 30 minutes from Bethesda.
Wow.
I had no clue. And then I messaged like other friends who grew up in the area, and they're like, yeah, we all knew. We all knew
This is like
that
major lore for your town.
I had no idea. And like I looked up about Bergère's. There's not a whole ton of information. Like she grew up in Maryland. She went to a Quaker school, by the way, which yeah,
Whoa.
is a thing that we have. I went to a Quaker summer camp. Not
Whoa.
it was a Harry Potter summer camp at a Quaker school. They were
That's
really
actually kind of
chill.
surprising. Yeah, whoa. Quakers were chill with Harry Potter.
Quakers are chill with everything.
That's
Quakers
sick.
are, well, and that's the thing, like my family was not religious at all, but they were like, well, we can fuck with the Quakers. They're fine. They're chill people.
Hell yeah.
And she worked at a production company that was geared towards, it was like production and development of books towards young adult fiction. And then she wrote a novel and sold it to them, and they picked up the movie rights and they made the movie.
Whoa.
This is her first novel.
With the
Insane.
author?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yes. But when you're first meeting all of the characters getting together, they're describing
Yeah.
each one of their pants. Makes sense. Ultimately, makes sense.
Yeah.
But it was like cargo, khaki, capri. It was very, very
Yeah.
2001.
Very 2001.
Yes.
It made me so nostalgic for that era, though, too. Everything makes me nostalgic for
Definitely.
that era. Ugh.
Yeah. Tibby is making a documentary about her town with a little
Yep.
camcorder.
So fun.
Yeah. Should we dive into the character of Tibby?
Yeah, let's dive into the character of Tibby.
Tibby has a
Ugh.
really
She Tibby
interesting
has a pretty
backstory.
She
Yeah.
does. She does. Yeah, her backstory is very interesting. She
Yeah.
also has like one of the bigger arcs, I feel
She,
like, in terms
yeah.
of like the person she was before this summer and the person she is at the end of this summer. Like, I feel
Yeah.
like she gets quite humbled. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
She sees the world a little differently, I would say.
Yeah. Well, first off, Tibby is born when her parents are like 19 or
Yeah.
something. They're like very young, very
Like
idealistic.
hippies, yeah.
Exactly. And then they sort of try again. And they're like, actually, we're gonna like really be adults and really have kids and sort of have the
Right.
typical suburban life.
Yep.
And Tibby sort of, is taking care of these younger siblings. You're the third of seven, so I wondered if
Yep.
that resonated with being a little bit of a parent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my parents didn't like waste any time with having a single one of us.
Yeah.
Every 2 years, there's like another kid. But yeah, I can definitely relate to like being my youngest sibling's babysitter for
Yeah.
sure. I can also relate, like, I had one of my like besties as a kid. Her name was Lexi. She was an only child until she was 12. She was like my like token only child friend that like went on vacations with her family. And then she got a little brother when she was 12, and it just like completely threw off the dynamic. It was nuts.
She
And
definitely has this feeling of like, I was kind of the not a quite a mistake, but they need to do a do-over, you know? And she has this job she doesn't want. She's the one who's still at home, stuck in suburbia. And she seemed very cynical to me because it seemed like her documentary is sort of like, here's all the stupid, boring people in my town.
It was almost just to like prove to herself and everyone else to like validate her frustration with her circumstances and like
Definitely.
and just like something to commiserate in or yeah.
Absolutely. And she meets this little 12-year-old
Ugh.
Bailey, who's of course obsessed with her, who
Yep.
follows her around everywhere. helps her with the documentary, and Bailey has leukemia.
Yeah.
And is such a fun character.
I know. I
She's
love
so
Bailey.
distinct. Oh my goodness.
I know. She's so wise beyond her years, too.
Oh my
Oh,
gosh.
that poor terminal child,
Yeah,
where she's had
and
to just like accept that she will never get to like be a big kid or like just have a normal life. So
yeah,
sad.
and
Poor
Bailey
Bailey.
ends up in the hospital. Tibby goes through sort of a depression of her own. She like won't get out of bed for a couple, because her guinea pig
Her guinea
hamster
pig, yeah, her guinea pig dies.
dies, forgets to feed it.
Yeah.
Very tragic. And in the way that Lena reroutes her flight to go take care of Bridget after Bridget has sex for the first time, Carmen packs up and leaves South Carolina. She like gets a bus ticket on her own and goes home, and then comes to Tibby and is like, "You gotta get out of bed. Your little 12-year-old friend is dying, and you need to go take care of her." Those scenes are so powerful. And
Which
she
is an interesting
says,
switcheroo with
yeah.
Carmen, because originally Carmen comes back like looking for more sympathy from Tibby because Carmen's like pissed about her dad and all this shit. But now Tibby's at this like turning point in her perspective of the summer, which is like she's befriended this kid who is like terminally ill, and she's like interviewing people and getting like a new perspective on from like other people's life, and her perspective on the world has widened a little bit. And so Carmen comes home, guns blazing, and Tibby's like, "Well, what did your dad do?" Like, she's just trying to get the story, but she's kind of like mirroring back to Carmen that like maybe she's mad about the wrong thing in a way, or like, I don't know, maybe she needs to like rethink her approach to this anger and like what to do about it, which then I think ends up sort of she is later encouraged to actually like telephone her dad and speak on her anger rather than just like passive aggressively reject him altogether, which is
There's so much
interesting.
complexity.
There's so much complexity. I know, and they all like weave into one another.
Because I think Carmen comes home expecting, I mean, she knows Tibby is going to be, the one person in town, but expecting Tibby to, she is the righteously angry one. She
Yeah,
is
to share
the,
in her anger.
exactly. And Tibby just, again, like you said, is trying to get the facts. And it also, Tibby is like, your parents love you. Again, reflecting back just the facts and simple facts of the case. And also is like, you're alive. You don't have a friend who's about to
It could be
die.
worse. It simply could be worse.
Exactly. Yeah. But Carmen also is entitled to that anger and has a really lovely phone call with her dad being like, you did a bad thing and I deserve to be angry about it. Yeah.
I don't know if
What?
she would have like I don't know if she ever would have like made that call.
100%. Yeah, because her dad is the parent who's not there, so she idolizes him. She directs the anger towards the wife and the.
The new family.
Absolutely. I feel like, just in young adult novels in general, but especially for girls, I feel like it is rare that anger is sort of a focal point emotionally. I thought that was really interesting.
It is interesting. This is like a random thought, but one other like thing that was different about the movie from the book is that is Lena's sister Effie doesn't exist in the movie. She's not there at all.
She's pretty minor in the book, but
Yeah, she is. I was trying to think of like what are sort of like Lena's what do the friendships mirror back to her and sort of like what she like her arc. Then I was like, I feel like her sister was kind of a little bit important in her narrative in terms of like teaching her
I
about
think,
confidence or something and like speaking up for herself or
I think Lena sort of gets the pants, or I think she definitely is like, what would Bridget do? Because their romantic storylines are so polarized. But yeah, I think definitely her sister is the one who sort of prompts her to see the reality of her feelings towards Costas. Yeah, and I came around to liking the character of Lena, but I did feel frustrated at first that her sort of issue is like, I'm just too pretty. Which, like, Alexis Bledel, yeah,
Yeah,
gorgeous,
of
yeah,
course.
undeniable.
But she's just like she's so tired of being the
Like, yeah.
pretty one.
One of
But
the
there's also like
phrases.
depth to that, and I think it's probably Right.
a good lesson to be like, it's, you know, the pretty popular girl at my school is, you know, has struggles too, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. There is, I'm trying to remember what the line is in the book. There is like one interesting line about that, how that she says like something to the effect of like her beauty almost gives like unwritten permission to people to it like invites people to treat her a certain way that she didn't necessarily give permission to. I'm trying to remember what the line is, but
Yeah.
there was like
See,
one line in the book that I was like, oh, that's a really good way to put that, where it's like
Yeah.
just because she's like a pretty girl, like people feel entitled to like put her in a certain light or like interact with her in a certain way
Yeah.
that like if she wasn't just like a waify, pretty girly, like she
Yeah.
wouldn't be treated that way.
There is it almost,
You
I might be like retconning this from a different book, but it is there a degree of like people make assumptions about me, about who I am,
Yeah.
just based on my looks, or like,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know, assign sort of a story there.
Mm
And so she avoids Costas because initially she thinks like he's just gonna want to date me and no one actually. And
mhm.
there are elements of she's like, boys before have like tried to flirt with my friends in order to get closer to me, which is so tough.
Right. Yeah.
There was one really incredible passage that I pulled out right when Tivi
Woof.
is sort of having her big. Well, actually, one thing that's interesting is that like there are almost no delineations between narrative. Like we're just
Right.
we finish a paragraph with Lena and we're on to Tivi, and
Yeah.
it's really sort of stream of not stream of consciousness, and it is also punctuated with letters between the girls, which I
Yes.
adore.
Yeah. And like really random quotes. Which I'm still a little bit like confused about the quotes. Like
Yes.
sometimes they'll be like the quotes will be from like characters in
Yes.
the book's universe. And sometimes they'll be like unknown. And then it'll be like
Bumper sticker.
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah.
James
Where I'm like,
Joyce.
yeah, like whose voice is this bumper sticker? Or I mean, sorry, is this quote supposed to be in? Like,
Yes.
I don't know. I'm curious what the author's intent behind including those quotes
Yeah,
was.
it opens with a Tolkien quote
Right.
and then goes to an ancient Chinese proverb and then I think goes to Tibby's manager at the Wallens.
Yeah. Which is pretty
Yeah.
funny. Like, I don't know. I guess it's also when you kind of string them out like that, it kind of reminds me of like things that you would put up on your wall as like a teenager, like little
Absolutely.
mementos that you like find that you're like, "Ooh, I love this quote. I'm gonna pin this to my wall." I'm like, "Oh my God, my manager said this dumb thing. Write that
Yeah,
down. Pin there."
exactly. I love that, actually. I
Yeah.
love that. It she has such a keen insight
Yeah.
into this world,
Oh, I
which
love
I
Tibby,
loved.
honestly.
And there's a really beautiful, at the end, Tibby is there's this guy who's always playing an arcade game at the gas station across the street from Wallman's. And he says basically like, just enjoy what you have. And she says, maybe happiness didn't have to be about the big sweeping circumstances, about having everything in your life in place. Maybe it was about stringing together a bunch of small pleasures, wearing slippers and watching the Miss Universe contest, eating a brownie with vanilla ice cream, getting to level 7 in Dragon Master, and knowing there were 20 levels to go. Maybe happiness was just a matter of the little upticks that happened to every person in the course of the day. Maybe everybody had the same allotted measure of happiness within each day. Maybe you just
Ugh.
got through it. Maybe that was all you could ask for.
That's the thesis of the book right there. Ugh, that's so
Ah,
good. I'm trying to think of like, can I ask a question
Of course,
of
of
you?
course.
I'm curious if like if you have a particular like summer that you remember, like maybe in your young adult life, that like you were different at the end of the summer than you were at the beginning of the summer.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Really?
And I think it was the same summer, actually. It was between sophomore and junior year. I was
Yep.
15, and I went
Yeah.
to a summer program at NYU for a month and took classes in screenwriting and playwriting. Changed like it was so different because I got to like have artistic fulfillment and be real and serious. And also I like it's so bad, but I was like, oh, I didn't know that your friends are like supposed to be nice to you.
Yeah,
Like we all
wow.
communicate through like digs and being mean, which they do
Oh,
not in this book, which is so
no.
beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I went to this program and people were like, you're really smart, you're really talented, you're really funny. And I was
Oh.
like, this is a little weird. It's a little
Oh.
uncomfortable. What about you? Yeah.
I want to ask more about that. I
Yeah.
what was the summers of my like adolescence, like between 8th grade and like my senior year of high school were all very different. Like my summer between my sophomore and my junior year was like that was like the summer of young love and romance for me. I would say that was a very influential, like
Yeah.
that was the summer that I started seeing the boy that would go on to be like a very extremely like storied, tumultuous, like 2 year long on off, like hidden from the parents relationship in high school. Like, it was crazy. But that summer, like before it all kind of like took a dark turn, was very like I just remember having these like romantic first experiences as like a young teenager and like experiencing like certain parts of my hometown in a different way because I'm like young and in love and like
Yeah.
I don't know, that felt like a very influential like adolescent coded summer for
Yeah.
better or for worse, honestly. I
Yeah.
also went on like a huge like backpacking trip that I like did a bunch of outdoorsy stuff that I'd never done before and that felt
Yeah.
important that summer. Like I just felt like that summer, I also got my license that summer.
Oh, yeah.
That was just like
That's
the
huge.
summer of like breaking away from like family dependency and like becoming like my own like independent, like I can go in a cave now and I can go cliff jumping now and I can drive to my boyfriend's house and go make out with him in a meadow now. And like
In a
just the summer of
meadow.
independence. Yeah. That was like the summer where it felt like everything was just like blooming wide open for
Yeah.
me, you know?
Yes.
Which feels very
Yeah.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants coded.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
you have a trip. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
these girls, it is their first summer apart and they've been together, in utero. And yet they carry each other along with them. They are able to come back together and be
Yeah.
different and still accept each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like I love that like the friendship, obviously, like there's a little spat between Carmen and Tibby, but that the friendship is like reliable and strong and the rest of the world is difficult and we can deal with that and we can trust our friends to be there. I loved that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love this book.
Me
I love this
too.
story. I'm sad that I didn't like read it
Yeah.
as an adolescent. Maybe it would have been good for me.
Do you
But yeah.
think there are sort of similar takeaways in the movie, sort of lessons of.
Oh yeah, definitely. Honestly, the biggest takeaway ends up being, I think, Tibby's story. I literally
Yeah.
have like a frozen screen grab of like
Yeah.
what's happening in Tibby's narrative right now. I remember seeing the movie and being so, I just always craved like vacation and adventure and
Yes.
like being in somewhere foreign. So like Bridget and Lena's storylines were always like the most like exciting and stimulating to watch. But I remember by the end being the most like profoundly affected, I think,
Yeah.
by Tibby's storyline because she's so humbled by Bailey's character and she just learns so much about like what's actually important in
Yeah.
life and I don't know, you're just like softened by her
I love that.
story, you know,
Yeah. You
in a
are,
way
yeah.
that feels like very important to take away. And just like her character too. She's so like hard and tough and like rough-edged and cool and kind of like has like a pokey exterior, you know what I mean? Like
Yes.
especially like in the movie, the casting is so good.
Yeah,
She seems
she
like
has
the
like a
kind of
nose
person that, like,
ring,
if I
right?
like met her, if she was like in my like math class at school, I'd be like, she probably hates me. I'm not gonna go near her, you know? She's like too cool and tough. But then she's the one who has like the biggest softening, it seems like.
And then she has that huge change at
Yeah.
home and really
Yeah,
sees,
exactly. Without having to go anywhere. Exactly. And it all happens right there. And just like the quote that you pulled, like just the importance of finding the happiness and like the mundanity of what's happening in your day-to-day life. And it's just so good.
There's a
And like the
quote,
Bailey character reminding you to like live presently and like enjoy what you have now and like what a gift it is to like be an angsty teenager with a dream, you know? Like that's a gift. Like, oh God.
It's so beautiful. I loved
Yeah.
it.
So good. So
I'm trying
good.
to think, is there anything that we haven't covered that you know you want to cover?
Maybe like Carmen's
Yeah, I feel
moment
like,
with like Paul, like what do you think is like the Paul of it all? Like, do you think that there's like some actually something there
I don't,
or
So Paul is her soon-to-be stepbrother.
right?
She is so fun because Paul has a girlfriend and
That
she
she
is
calls
like
Skeletor.
Skeletor. And she is like, I hate being here, but I'm gonna have some fun just by like freaking the girlfriend out.
Yeah.
Love that. I
Yeah.
loved that as a detail for
Love
Furman.
it. Yeah.
There is something there. There is definitely like I was picking up like there I know there is a sequel. The sequel
Yes.
happens. I think I was seeing like right after they finish high school, so 2 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, maybe there's something, you know, setting it up there for a second one. But there is definitely something there because I think
Yeah.
Paul sort of sees her as she is. I think Paul is able to kind of like maybe see the reality of what she's going through versus
Yeah.
trying to like the dad and Lydia and the sister all are like get on board. Like we have a thing we need you to
Yeah.
adhere to. And they're like very
Yeah.
sweet. They understand that this is like sprung on her. But I think Paul is not like really expecting anything of her. He's just like,
Yes.
this is where we are.
Paul, I feel like, is the only one of his family that is not deluding himself to the reality of like his dad. And he like goes, he's like kind of living in the reality of what their family's circumstances are. Like he's not turning a blind eye in a way. Like he like goes to meet with his dad who's in like a sobriety facility. Yeah, I feel like he's like the one character that like can sort of relate to Carmen's struggle with, I don't know, being out of touch with your parents in a way that you didn't expect to be, you know?
And that like parents are human and they're disappointing
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think you're totally right. He's the one who's seeing it, as it is.
And obviously that's not something that she is aware of at first. Like she just sees him as like a quiet dud, really.
I like how you said it of like she finds out about Paul's dad who's not there and his sister is just sort of like I don't know him and it's easier to
I mean,
like
just like
block that
refuses.
out. And Carmen is sort of like, well, darn it, I have to like that is sad. It's sort of that, like you said, that's
Yeah.
so accurate.
It's so teenager behavior. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if her and anything ever comes of her and her stepbrother, Paul.
There's just something like playful there and
Yeah.
fun and and there's such a beautiful moment. Carmen and her dad share a love of tennis and she keeps
Yeah.
being like, "Can we go play tennis?" And
Yeah.
things keep getting in the way with setting up the wedding. And there's just a really beautiful moment of the dad being like, "Paul has a soccer game, can we go?" Like I really want to show up for Paul and Paul's soccer game. And I was like, gosh, like imagine a what a
Your
nice
daughter who
like
you never see, or yeah. Sorry, I'm already going to like the annoying part of
No,
that. No, that
you,
is a
but
beautiful
because it
thing,
is
though.
both. Like, it
Yeah.
is because she continuously says, like, she feels invisible in this summer that was supposed to be all about her. And there are those moments where she's like, things are both true. Like, she's seeing, like, oh, it's so nice that my dad is like, has a son and, you know, is being so kind and generous. And also, why isn't he being kind and generous with me? You know?
Yeah. And
It
I think
can
that that's
go.
something like at the very end of the book that she's able to acknowledge, like when her dad and Paul are like wearing the same tux, like going to the wedding, and she's able to acknowledge like what a gift it is for her dad to like have acquired a son. But how in the beginning, it's just like he's kind of treating Paul as like the kid he never had in a way.
Exactly.
And she's
Yeah, and
like,
there's
I'm right here. Bye.
overlap with Tibby about being like, you got it wrong the
Left
first
aside.
time. Yeah, exactly.
I know, which
Yeah.
is interesting that those two end up being the ones that console each other
Yeah. And I
in the
loved
last.
Carmen's ending of Carmen gets on a plane or on a bus
Yeah.
and shows up at the wedding
Wearing
and
the
like
pants. Wearing
wearing
the
the
pants
pants,
tonight.
wearing like a leopard print hoodie and flip-flops.
Yep.
And they put her in all the pictures and
Yeah.
she, that's so sweet.
This is
So
her
loved it.
story. It's
Yeah.
beautiful. The ending's all beautiful,
They're
really.
all beautiful. It is really, it's
Oh.
so well done. It's so well written.
It's
Yeah.
great. It really is well written too. Like it doesn't
Yes.
feel like an annoying, cheesy, angsty, like overly romanced YA book in a way.
Yeah.
It very much feels like the voice of a teenager that like is very relatable without
Yeah.
it being like over dramatized, you
Yeah.
know, which I love
It's
about it.
no one should ever describe this book as a guilty pleasure. It is very
Oh,
like
no.
nutritionally dense. It's
It
got,
really is. It really
yeah.
is. It like really like touches on something very like nostalgic to the adolescent experience, truly.
Yeah,
Specifically of
absolutely.
like being like a girl, you know.
Yeah,
Little girl.
girlhood,
A little girl. However that
yeah.
looks for you know, but it's just,
And
I don't know.
you like inevitably you like classify yourself as one of these girls, or like you feel,
Yeah.
like I was a Carmen, I really felt invisible. And yet you also like, oh, but also I'm Tibby. I'm like, oh, also I understand the things that Bridget does and that you,
Yeah.
yeah. Ugh,
Yeah.
I loved it. And the pants of the fifth character, of course,
Of
just like,
course.
of
Of
course.
course. I know.
Well then, I guess it's time for the question. Would you consider it required reading?
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. You know what I think it should be? I think it should be like required listening.
Do you
It's a
did the
great, it's a great
audiobook?
list. I did. I did.
Yeah.
I didn't get my hands on the book, but now I'm just biased saying that
Yeah.
because I listened to it. But I will say, and it is funny, like about a month ago, I had a friend recommend to me that I listen to Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants
Really?
before like out this conversation even like came about, because they said that they had like listened to it on a road trip. And so it had been like in the zeitgeist of things to like tune in to
Yeah.
as just like, yeah, if you're like on a road trip or like going somewhere and you're just like looking for like a nice audiobook. And I'm sure even like just the physical book, like I feel like you could read through it really quickly and like
Yeah.
just kind
Yep.
of devour it quite easily.
Definitely.
Definitely a
And
great summer read.
yes.
Like,
I will say the fonts are really fun. Like every
oh,
character has their
damn.
own handwriting.
Oh my
Really
God.
cute.
Okay,
Really
I
cute.
do have to legally go get the book now. Now that I've listened to it, talked about it, I will be going and annotating my own copy.
Annotate
But
it.
I don't know. I
Yes.
think it's required. I think to all teenage girls out there listening, I'd say this is required reading.
I think if you have a teen girl in your life, give her this book.
Give her this book. It's so good. But yeah, also if you're just like, I don't know. I feel like so many girlies have seen and love Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, the movie. And if you haven't read the book, I highly recommend. Because
Yeah.
you just like the characters you know and love, the stories you know and love, you just get more of it. You just get like the whole picture, which is just nice and
Yeah.
fun and
I
satisfying
mean,
and
yeah.
nostalgic, you know?
This is a perfect summer book
It's a
and
perfect, perfect summer
perfect
book,
summer book.
honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, required. Yeah.
Yep. Stamp it, baby.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thanks for having me, Erin. This was so fun.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to plug now that we've done?
I don't have anything specific on the horizon, but go listen to my song Lobotomy just for fun if you want. And then whenever I release my short film, Bright Smile,
Yeah.
go watch that.
Exciting. And I will, in the show notes, I'll link our short film. I will link
Yeah, oh my God. And go watch Riff 25 winner Romantic Jester.
Romantic Duster, directed by Kelly herself.
And physically shot,
Yes,
I will
on an
say.
iPhone.
My DP
Yes.
debut. Shot on iPhone. Yeah. He'll watch that. Shot on iPhone.
At the end.
Lest we forget. Shout out
Yeah.
iPhone.
Shout out to iPhone.
Yeah.
I'll wrap it there. I'll turn off the
Okay,
recording.
perfect. With shout out iPhone.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.